Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
Some of you guys haven't been here for the series at all, so I want to explain a little bit. There are two natural instincts to every horse, right? We already said it. What are they? Fight or flight. Again, if something threatens a horse or something attacks a horse, they're either going to do one of two things. They're either going to fight or they're going to run. Now, again, there is a third option. And if a horse gets attacked enough, if a horse gets threatened enough, I mean, if a horse gets desensitized enough, then the third option that horse has is to do nothing. And again, that option can get them hurt even worse because all they do is sit there and take the punishment, right? And so those are the instincts of a horse. And again, I believe that we have the same choices when it comes to the attacks or the threats that we face from the devil, right? When we face attacks, when we face threats from the devil, we can have one of three things, right? We can either fight it, we can run from it, or we can do nothing. Those are our three options. And again, we've talked about that for the last few weeks. And the truth is, we all face mental battles. We all face mental attacks. You may face, you know, depression. You may face insecurity or worry or fear or anger. Again, attacks are all over us all day long. I learned this week that we have over 50,000 thoughts a day. 50,000 thoughts a day. And again, I can't remember the whole statistics, but I heard this, that over 37,000 of those thoughts are negative. And again, so you say, well, how does that happen? Well, we are attacked all the time. I mean, the devil is in our minds all the time. And we've learned this, mental battles are real. You know why? Because the devil's real. And so for you to, again, say, oh, these mental battles, the depression people, I mean, they just need to suck it up and get over it. It's not that easy. And we need to be sensitive and patient with people that deal, again, with mental battles. Number two, the second thing we learned was mental battles are nothing new. I mean, from the beginning of time, Adam and Eve, they faced a mental attack where? In the garden. And they weren't defeated by a gun. They weren't defeated by a sword. They weren't defeated by anything but a lie that the devil told them. And so again, mental attacks are nothing, they're nothing new. The third thing is we must not run. Again, a lot of times we want to run to drugs, we want to run to alcohol, we want to run to a different relationship, we want to run to all these other things, but those things will never attack the issue and kill it. And so we can't run. And the fourth thing is we must be prepared. Again, you need to know how and when the devil attacks you, and you need to know how to overcome him. Again, it's a spiritual battle. Again, some people, they want to have these ways of fighting spiritual things with human weapons. It doesn't work. You're going to be defeated every time. And so again, we've got to be prepared. Well, today I want to look at our key verse, James chapter 4. Look at it with me. It says this. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. I want to point out something that, again, we've already studied. Number one is this, and it comes from that scripture right there. We must submit to God. If you want any power in your life, you have to submit to God. And you say, well, how do I do that? You give your life to Jesus Christ. Again, if you want to face all these battles on your own, if you want to, you know, face any attacks, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, whatever it is, you have to submit to God to have the power to do it. Again, you can't face it alone. The second thing is we must resist the devil. Again, it's not enough to do nothing. We have to resist him. And again, we cannot become desensitized to the attack. We have to fight. And you say, well, how do we fight? Here's how you fight. I'm going to give you, again, the devil hates what I shared last week, but I believe that God blessed it. But here's your weapon. The war, the attacks that you face mentally are won with the weapon of the Word of God. Can I get an amen on that? Can we get some joy? The truth is, the weapon of the Word is the greatest spiritual weapon that you have. This Word of God has two abilities, okay? Two abilities. I mean, it has obviously unlimited ability, but two abilities when it comes to the mental attacks that we face. Number one is this. It can kill the attack. It's a killer. The Word of God is a killer. The lies get shared and the Word of God can kill it. The second thing is that the Word of God can heal it. It can heal it. When you get beat up, when the devil gets the best of your mind, gets the best of you spiritually, gets the best of you, you know, mentally, the Word of God can heal it. As you read it, as you pour your heart into it, it can heal it. And so today, we are going to focus in on if the Bible can kill and heal, and if we're going to win the battle, then we must be locked and loaded. We must be locked and loaded. I want to show you something, and I want you guys, we're going to take a little test here today. You guys like tests? All right, any teachers in the house? Any teachers in the house? Again, I wish we had this on video so you could see it on the screen. I'm going to show you a bullet, and I want you to guess what caliber or gauge that it is, okay? And I know you can't see these very well, but can anybody see that little bullet right there? What is it? What caliber? A 22 bullet. That is correct. Good job. What about one of these right here? What's this? What's that one right there? Anybody know? That's a 38 special. 38 special right there. What about one of these right here? These big boys. 45 caliber. Man, we got some gun people in here. That's what I'm talking about. All right, I'm going to throw you another one right here. You might be able to tell because of the color. 20 gauge, baby, right there. 20 gauge. What about one of these right here? Anybody know what that one is? 410. The 410, okay. What about one of these? Anybody know what size that is? 28. The 28 gauge. Some of you guys are getting a lesson today. You throw these all in a fire, you'll have a little fun. What about one of these shotgun shells right here? What's this? 12 gauge, 2 3/4. 12 gauge. What about one of these little guys right here? Anybody know what that is? Anybody? What kind of gun do you put that in? A black powder gun. That's a Sabot right there. 50 caliber inline Sabot. That bullet will destroy a deer. I mean, that's amazing. And then what's this one right here? Anybody know what this size is? What caliber? A little bit smaller than a 30-06. What's the next? The 25-06. My favorite gun. You can shoot predators. You can shoot deer. It's my favorite gun. Well, here's the thing, and I want you to get this. I'll say this as well. I'm a card-carrying member of the NRA. Can I get an amen? And my wife, she packs heat. So don't mess with me. Don't tread on me. My wife has my back, and she usually carries, but no, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. I bought my wife a 38. She spends a lot of nights at home alone with our kids. I have meetings and stuff. My wife has a 38 special. She does have her concealed license, and so we bought her this little gun. But here's the thing, and I want you to get this. We have this gun, but here's the truth. If we don't have it loaded and ready, then it's of no use in the event of an attack, right? We've got to have it loaded and ready. And so here's the point that I want to get across, and this is a spiritual point. If we're going to be ready to kill the devil's attacks mentally, then we must be locked and loaded with the Word of God. And again, the Word of God is the silver bullet. Here's what I want to say about this before my wife takes off. I hate it when preachers tell you, go win the world, or they tell you, you know, you can do all things through Christ, but they never equip you to do it. The challenge is there, and they go get them, but they never say, here's the ammunition. And so today, our goal is to give you some ammunition to defeat and kill the devil's lies. And so my wife's going to take off today.
Well, if we're going to be able to win the battles, we have to have the Word in our hearts, right? It's like if someone comes and attacks your house and you're fumbling around trying to find your gun, trying to find the bullets, it's probably going to be a little bit too late, right? Well, the same is true when we're attacked spiritually. If you're having to hurry and get your Bible out and thumb through and find something to bring you peace, It's not near as beneficial as if you have it already there, ready to go. So if we're going to win the battles of our minds, we have to know the Word of God, and we have to have it ready to use. So like Bo said, we have this little safe at our house. It's small. It's probably like 5 inches tall, and you just put your little code in, which only Bo and I know, so don't worry, our kids don't know that code, trust me. And it just pops open, and then there's your gun. And so it's ready to go. And I don't know about you women, but for me, it's empowering to know that I feel like I could hopefully protect myself if, you know, we did have someone attack. Yesterday, and I'm sure a lot of you know, just some crazy things happened in Woodward. And so I got home yesterday, and I pull into the house, and I walk up to the back door, and my door was like 4 inches open. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this crazy guy made it all the way to Mutual, and here we go. So the first place I go, right, is where our little safe is, and I plop in my code, and I get it, and I'm like, okay, everything's fine. But I just had that security to know that if some crazy guy came at me, I was going to at least shoot him in the toe or something. So it is empowering, but we have to have the gun of God's word ready. So Psalm 119, 9 through 11, so this is the spiritual application for us. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we're told to hide God's word in our heart so that we can have it ready when those spiritual attacks come, and so that we can take captive and kill those lies that the devil tries to tell us and tries to take over our minds with. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, and listen to this, the last part of this is my favorite part. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And so just know that those thoughts that we face, that we struggle with, if they're contrary to the word of God, we need to take those captive and make them obedient to Christ and fight those away.
Yeah, you bet. And here's the part that I want you to understand. You say, well, okay, Bo, how do we hide the word of God in our hearts? How do we hide it in our hearts? Here's the truth, and this is simple. You have to read it. Again, everybody wants to know all this secret stuff. How do I do this? How do I do that? You got to read the Word of God. I mean, again, and some of you guys are like, I hate reading. And again, I would say join the crowd. Some of you guys are like, I don't read very well. Join the crowd. Some of you guys are like, I would rather read something else. Join the crowd. We all have excuses on why not to read the Word of God. But if you want to be ready, and if you want to hide it in your heart, then you have to read the Word of God. Here's the second thing. You need to meditate on it. Now listen to this. And some of you guys are like, ding, 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 ding. Where's my little, symbols? I'm not talking about Middle East meditation. I'm talking about biblical meditation. Listen to this scripture, Joshua 1:8. It says this. Do not let this book of the law, and what it's talking about is the Word of God. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be what? Prosperous and successful. I'll give you this example. Meditation is like a cow chewing its cud, right? Think about it. Cows have what? 4 stomachs. I wasn't a biology or ag major, but cows have 4 stomachs. And what do? They take in the grass, they chew it, they swallow it. It goes into one stomach, they regurgitate it, and then they chew on it again, and then it goes into the other stomach, and they just keep regurgitating this grass, right? Now you say, well, why do they do that? Because here's why. They can get 3 times as much nutrients out of that grass by chewing on it, taking it all in, and then regurgitating and chewing on it and taking it all in and regurgitating it. It's the same way with the Word of God. When you meditate on the Word of God, that means you take it in and it gets inside of there. And then when you need it, you regurgitate it and it gives you more power. Then you take it back in and then you regurgitate it and it gives you more power. That's what it means to be meditating on the Word of God, right? Here's the third thing. If you want to hide it in your heart, you have to memorize it. Now, how many of you guys are good at memorizing things? Anybody? Thank you guys. I hate all of you. I'm just kidding. I really have a struggle with memorizing things. But here's the funny thing about it. I can memorize words of songs. I can memorize, you know, famous, you know, people's sayings on movies. So why can't I memorize the Word of God? Well, here's what I would challenge you to do. Take a 3x5 note card or take a sticky note, write the verse out, and put it in a place where you're going to see it every day. Whether it's by your mirror, hopefully you go to the mirror. Some of you guys, I'm doubting. No, I'm just kidding. But hopefully you go to the mirror, maybe put it by your speedometer. It'll keep you from speeding. Some of us need that, right? Put it on your desk at work, wherever you've got to put it where you can see it every day, and then you can just take it in every day.
Or set an alarm on your phone.
Set an alarm on your phone. That's a good one as well. Have it, a reminder on your phone. Here's what else you need to do. You need to listen to the Word of God online. I mean, some of you guys, you sit on oil-filled sites and you just sit there for hours and you listen to, you know, country music or whatever you listen to. That's fine. But every now and then, or more often than not, turn it to a Christian station and listen to the teaching on that station. Again, pick and choose who you're going to listen to. Make sure they're legit, but listen to them. I mean, 90.7, they have Chip Ingram. I mean, he's a great Bible teacher. You know, Charles Stanley's on there, John MacArthur. I mean, listen to those guys. The younger guys that I like to listen to, some of them are like Matt Chandler. You can look him up, listen to him online. Stephen Furtick, Mark Driscoll, Perry Noble, Ed Young. I mean, those are some great preachers that you can get fed the Word of God. Here's something else. Teenagers, listen. There's a great family named the Robertsons. Anybody know who the Robertsons are? Yeah. Doug Dynasty is one of the greatest shows, if not the greatest show on TV. You know why? Because they're the real deal. And even their teenagers are the real deal. Anybody watching Sadie Robertson on Dancing with the Stars? Yeah, some of you guys admitted it. Some of you guys watch Dancing with the Stars. Anyway, Sadie Robertson has a blog out that you can go to, teenage girls, listen, and you can listen to her talk about her faith in Christ. Listen to it. Get on there. Listen to it every day. John Luke or whatever his name is, John Luke Robertson, he's got a blog as well. He's on Instagram. He's on Twitter. You can follow him and hear the Word of God. And there's books out there. There's all kinds of books. And so again, memorizing Scripture is important, and there's different ways to do that. Now you say, okay, Bo, what are some of the common issues that we face mentally, and how do we overcome them? Well, I'll give you a technique, and this is what I've learned in my life, because you know how the devil defeats me most? He defeats me mentally. So here's what I want to teach you. Listen, if I have a lie that the devil puts in my mind, if I try to reject that lie, I think about it more. Get this. If I go, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that. I just saw her. You know, I saw that. You know, I just saw that. And I just don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. I just think about it more. But here's the truth that I've learned. And this is a technique that you need to learn. If I will replace it, then I can win. And you say, but what do we replace it with? You replace it with the Word of God. So instead of going, oh, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. You replace it with the Word of God, and then you can win. I'll give you an example. Depression. Many people face depression, right? I mean, it's something that hits, you know, almost every family. They face depression. And can I just say this? Good community, a good church, you know, serving others, medication is all, they are all healthy weapons that you can help you fight depression. But here's the devil's lie. You know what he says to depressed people? He says, you have no reason to go on, right? You have no reason to move forward. You're a good for nothing. You know, your life has no meaning. But here's the silver bullet. Listen to Isaiah 43:2. And you can write these down. Listen, if you will write these down, you will remember them better. I mean,
and be able to share them. This might not be your struggle. Some of these things might not be what you struggle with, but I guarantee you know someone who struggles with some of this. You know someone who struggles with depression.
Absolutely.
And so if they're not here to take these notes, maybe you should write these down and share them with them to give them hope.
Isaiah 43:2 says this, and listen to this. This is a great scripture. I love it. It brings me comfort. When you pass through the waters, Jesus says, the Lord says, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You know what? If you deal with depression, listen, there's hope in Jesus Christ. You are not alone. 1 Peter 5:7 says this as well. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jesus Christ cares for you. And so again, if you're dealing with depression, these are some great scriptures that you can not just reject the wrong thought, but you can replace the wrong thought.
And as women, I think a lot of the things that we struggle with are self-image. We might struggle with insecurity, feeling worthy. We might struggle with comparison. And I don't know if any of these hit home with you, but I know a lot of women it does. And for me, I know a lot of these hit home with me too. So when I'm struggling, and for a lot of times, I think one thing leads to another. Like it might start off with your self-image, and you struggle with feeling confident or whatever. But then that also leads to you comparing yourself to others, and it leads to it could lead to depression and things like that. So some of these are interrelated. But some lies I think that we hear as women is you look so stupid in those pictures. Do any of y'all hate the way you look in a picture? I mean, I do. I'll just be honest. I don't know how many selfies I've deleted from my phone because I take it. I'm like, oh, that looks stupid. Delete. Take another one. That wasn't a good angle either. So, I mean, I think, you know, and we're really good at picking ourselves apart. You know, we get it. We see this picture. And for me, it's like I always have a squinty eye. So I'm like, what? Why is my eye, you know, do that? So then I'll take the next one. And then I'm like bug eye because I'm trying not to squint. So I think, you know, we're really good at, you know, picking ourselves apart. But the silver bullet that we can use for that is Psalm 139:13-16. And it says, for you formed my inward parts. Sorry. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Yeah. I think as a mom, you know, we have kids and we think our kids are beautiful, right? You don't nitpick them apart. You don't think, man, you have, you know, a lot of freckles. Man, you have this or this wrong. And I think that how it hurts our Lord's heart when we pick ourselves apart. We're not satisfied with how he created us, right? So every part of us, inside out, crazy eye and all, he created us just as he desired and intended. And he created us with great thought and detail. Another lie that I think we hear is, as a mom especially, for comparison, is you're not near as good of a mom as she is. And you look on Facebook sometimes and you see this, something that a mom did, and you're like, gosh, she's amazing. I have this friend, she's so creative. And she made like her son like this Pac-Man game on the carpet, she put tape and she made the Pac-Man, and then she cut out all the little Pac-Mans and the little circles for them to eat or whatever. And I was like, what the heck? Who does that? Like, you're like this supernatural, crazy, creative mom who's amazing. And I instantly feel like, God, I've never done anything like that for my kids, you know? And we compare. And then I'm reminded of Galatians 1:10. And it says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And I think we can find security when we try to please God first. You know, our kids, they don't give a flip if you create some crazy cool game for them. They just want you to love them and be the best mom that you can be because that's who God called you to be.
Yeah.
I have this bracelet my friend Tracy brought me this morning, and it says, be the best version of you. And I think that's, you know, that's great. God puts you here, and no one else can fulfill your purpose except you, okay? Yeah. No other mom can love your kids like you can, you know? No other woman can love your husband like you do. So don't compare. Something else is fear, worry, and anxiousness. I know I struggle with this, and I have a long line of warriors in my family, and so this is, you know, something I'm prone to do. But and I think, too, with everything that's going on in our world today, you know, it can be fearful. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, people, just the crazy things that are going on, it's scary and it's real. But the lies, I think, that we can get caught up in is, you know, this world's scary and it's going downhill fast and there's nothing we can do about it. And that's partially true. And all we can do is live in fear. And that's the lie. And, you know, when we walk around fearful, that's the lie. And I'm not saying don't be smart, you know, don't be prepared, you know, like having a gun safe or whatever. I mean, those things are good and it makes you feel more secure. But to just walk around defeated by fear, that's not how the Lord wants us to walk around. Psalm 27:1, this is the truth that you can combat that lie with. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I've heard, you know, someone say, as a Christian, this is the only hell we'll ever know. And I'm so thankful for that. As bad as it gets here on earth, this is the worst it will ever be for us. Yep. And, you know, I'm just thankful that we truly don't have anything to fear. Another thing I think that we struggle with is anxiousness, whether it's and worry. You know, how are we going to pay the bills? Or, oh my gosh, my daughter was in the hospital. Now we have this huge medical bill to pay. Or, you know, it just seems like it's always something to worry about, whether it's finances or your kid's health or safety or just all those things we can get anxious about and we can get worried about. And they can affect you physically, too. Philippians 4:6-7. If you don't write anything else down today, please write this verse down and share it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if we'll seek him, he will give us peace in the midst of our anxiousness. And then another great one for worry is Matthew 6:25. All the way down through 34, and I'm not going to read all of it, but that's just a great passage about worry. In verse 25, it says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life." And then it goes on to say, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And in the middle of that passage, it talks about how God cares for the birds and provides for the birds and how much more he cares for us. And so if, you know, if he's going to provide for them, just know that as a child of God, he's going to provide and take care of you.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. Some of you guys have maybe faced hopeless situations. I know that for some of you, maybe you were pregnant and you lost a child. And you think, I'm never, and again, this is the lie that devil flits into your mind. I'm never going to be able to have kids again. Some of you guys have failed maybe in a marriage or a relationship and you've got this hopelessness and the devil's feeding you a lie that says you're never going to have a good godly relationship because you screwed all that up. God is not going to bless you with a new one. And the devil sells again that lie and you feel hopelessness. But here's the truth. And I want you to write these down if you're facing some of this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Philippians 1:6 says this, "Be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And so again, God has a perfect plan for your life. If you faced, you know, unforeseeable, you know, heartache, unforeseeable loss, listen, God is your hope. He can give you hope. He has plans for your life. And again, that's the lie that the devil sells us, is hopelessness. Here's another one. And I think men deal with this obviously more than women, but it's lust. Maybe you're addicted to porn. Maybe you deal with that mental attack every day of your life. Every time you turn the computer on, every time you look at your phone, there is something on there that tempts you. And you buy into these lies. Maybe these are the lies. These things are okay, right? The devil says, it's okay. I mean, you're not going to hurt anybody by looking at this stuff. Or, you know, looking at this won't, you know, it won't affect anybody. This stuff will satisfy you. That's the lie that the devil sells everybody, especially men. And I'll say this, the silver bullet of truth can be found in 1 Peter 1. Listen to what it says. It says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action." Again, we ought to be fighting. "Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed." And listen to this, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" And so you need to, again, memorize that verse and say, okay, God, the devil's trying to sell me this lie. I want to be holy. Help me to be holy today. I fight the devil through your power, and I'm going to say no to the lust of my mind. The last one that I want to focus on is loneliness. Again, some of you guys are married and you're lonely because you find no satisfaction in your marriage, and God's not the center of your marriage. Some of you guys are single and you're lonely. I was single for 28 years, right? And I got married when I was 28. I spent 4 years and never went on a date from 20, what would it be, 22 to 28, or how many ever years I spent, and I never went on a date for 4 years. And you say, I understand why, and that you didn't date anybody. Is that not true? Could you say that in the mic so they
can
hear you?
That's so not true.
Oh, thank you. But here's the thing. I understand what loneliness is. I understand that. And so maybe you're single today and you're thinking, well, I'm just lonely. No one, you know, is ever going to love me. You'll never have anybody. You're not good enough to have anybody. No one likes you anyways. And again, those are the lies that the devil sells us. But here's the truth. Write this one down if you're lonely. Deuteronomy 31:8 says this: the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Here's the truth. You're not alone if you know Jesus. And here's the thing. Even when you get married to a beautiful person, you're still have the attacks of the lies, and you can believe that, again, that the devil is selling you this lie and that you can even be lonely in marriage. But here's the truth. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're never alone. Whether she's around or not, I'm never alone. And I have my hope set in Jesus Christ. And so here's how we're going to close. Are you being attacked today? Are you being attacked mentally by the devil? Are you winning that attack? Are you fighting that attack? Or are you running from that attack? Listen, you don't have to be defeated. You have the silver bullet, and if you will turn to God and you will read his word, you will meditate on it, and you will memorize it again, you can be set free. Listen to John 8:32. It says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you what? It will set you free. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Here's my question. Are you locked and loaded? Are all of the chambers in your mind, are they full of scripture, or are they open for the devil's attack? Here's the truth, and I want you to hear this. Whether you read the Word of God again for the rest of your life, guess what? The battle of our minds will never end until the Lord comes back. And so you have to make a commitment to be locked and loaded with the Word of God. And so again, those of you who know the truth, those of you that study the Word of God, listen, those that are giving, you know, time to the Lord every day, having a quiet time where they sit down, they pray, they read the Word, they worship God, those are the people that are finding victory over the attacks. Because they're giving their minds to God. And so maybe you're here today and you don't spend time with God. You don't read his word. Maybe you don't even know Christ personally. Listen, there is hope. You can know him today. Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on a cross so that you could have a personal relationship with God. You're not too far gone. You haven't sinned too much. God can overcome everything that you deal with. And he wants to forgive you of your sin today. And so maybe you're here today and you're saying, Bo, I don't even know Jesus. Listen, the Bible says that if you will confess him as the Lord of your life, you will be saved. In other words, he will come into your life. He will wipe away your past and he will give you a future plan that is perfect. Not that's without its heartache, not that it's without its trials, but listen, but his plan is perfect. And whether you go through the trials or not, guess what? You can overcome them through the power of Jesus Christ. And so maybe you're here today and you're just facing that. Listen, you need to know Christ. If you're a Christian already and you say, I already know Christ, but you're not reading the Word of God, you need to start reading the Word of God. You need to start meditating on it. You need to fill your mind with it. You need to be in church every Sunday, giving your mind over to God, not to the devil. Here's what we're going to do. If you have questions about knowing Christ or if you want prayer, we're here to pray with you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask my wife to pray. I want her to pray a hedge of protection around the ladies in the house and the teenage girls. And then I'm going to close this in a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed today.
Lord, we just thank you that you equip us to fight the battle that we face here on earth, Lord. And I just pray for, Lord, all the women and all the girls that are here today, Lord, that you would just help us to protect our minds from Satan and from his attacks, Lord. And I pray that we would hide your word in our heart and that we would take captive every thought that is negative, every thought that isn't from you, and that we would make it obedient to you, Lord, that we would replace it with truth, that we would know that we're a child of yours and that we're created just as you intended. And I pray that, Lord, also that sometimes when we struggle with these things, we tend to just focus on ourselves. And I pray that we would just get out and serve others. Some of the best things that we can do is when we take the focus off of ourselves and we get busy serving someone else, Lord. And I just pray that you'd help us to hide your word in our heart and use it and fight the battle, and that you would help us to just defeat Satan with the attacks that he brings on our minds. In your name I pray.
Lord, we just come to you as well. And I thank you for our church. I thank you for the strong community, the strong family, and the support that we have in this church. And Lord, I pray for the men as well as we face certain attacks and we face, you know, the devil's lies. I pray that you would just help us to be locked and loaded and ready to fight. The battle will not end until we go to meet with you. And so, Lord, may we be locked and ready, and may we be killers, killers of the lies. So give us that ammunition, Lord, and may we make every effort to be ready to fight the fight. Lord, we thank you for your word and how powerful it is and what a great weapon it is. And I pray that each one of us would read it, meditate on it, and memorize it so that we can be ready. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message, and we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30. Sons and daughters.